Man, that Ten Commandments is a bully. I'm feeling it. Pushing you around.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's 10%.
It is.
It's not for the faint of heart.
Not for pussies.
So, post show.
Okay.
Topics.
Okay.
Include. I did a really poor job last time, and I apologize.
Oh, trying to explain whatever was putting me to sleep.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't had the chance to listen to it, but I will listen to it again and try to think of a better way to describe what I was trying to describe, which was the existence of virtual particles and the fact that they're kind of not virtual. They're not particles. They're sort of leftover stuff from energy that sort of exists in the fields, and the reason why they're there is because when an electron field gets disturbed, the anti-electron field will also get disturbed, and then it will go away.
I'm not in the mood to think about that shit right now, so let's skip that one. Healthcare overhaul.
Oh, the
SCOTUS.
We didn't even talk about the Green of a Pito. Yeah, the
that's so exciting. Oh my god.
Healthcare is, you know, I have a sort of tangential story about this, because so every month I go to the to a particular doctor who prescribes me Percocets for my back. And I've been doing this for a year and a half now. And when I switched off of Cobra and onto the new health insurance, I got a thing in the mail saying, wait a minute, we don't know if we can cover this. And I was like, what? What the hell is going on? So apparently, because it's a pre-existing condition, they didn't know whether they could cover it or not. So I had to send them in my HIPAA form saying, yes, I've been covered. The idea is that I didn't just buy health insurance so I would get this thing covered. Mm-hmm. I have been covered by this in the past, so pre-existing condition is waived. But the whole point is that, you know, this healthcare law would make that moot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in favor. I don't see how somebody could not be in favor of the healthcare law. Not only is it the whole point, you know, to get, especially since I know people who have lived without health insurance and have been in situations because of it, but, you know, the whole thing is, it's not a government takeover of healthcare. If anything, it's a government subsidizing private healthcare companies.
There's one part of the conversation that no one talks about, and it seems like a perfectly reasonable thing to talk about. Maybe I am being too medieval in my views here, but okay, if you don't want to have to buy insurance, how do you feel about being denied emergency access at the emergency room?
Uh-huh.
Seems like a reasonable conversation to have.
Well, I mean,
but no, everyone's like, oh, we can't even say, no, we can't go there. We can't even have the conversation about denying access.
Well, the reason why is because that was a part of, I believe it's Medicaid, that forced hospitals to have to treat emergency care. That was a part of accepting Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So it's been part of the national stuff that happened. You know, so it's sort of like, you know, I think a perfect analogy would be fire protection. You know, your house will burn down if you don't buy the insurance to allow the fire company to come to the local fire company to come to your place and spray it down. That's kind of ridiculous. These are sort mm-hmm. of things that we need to have in order to protect you, and the same way that we need to have a police service, we need to have a fire service, we need to have a health service. And I think it's ridiculous. I'm in, you know, I'm Pink Okami in this way. I think it should be single payer and should just be the same way that the fire service is and the police service is. It's a, you know, it's part of your taxes and you pay. And I don't think it should be applied to your job, and it should change based on different situations. I think everyone should get the same care, period. But I'm Pink Okami in that sense, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had a job that has offered health insurance. I've often had a job that's offered very good health insurance. So I can't, you know, speak towards that. I mean, like, currently, I'm pretty sure I don't contribute anything out of my paycheck.
You know, that's nice.
I pay co-pays and stuff, but there's no... For family coverage, I don't pay anything out of my paycheck.
Right.
My previous job, I paid something, but it was amazing coverage. And, you know, when you work for these high-tech companies that, you know, have to...
Compete
attract,
for you.
Yeah. You have to attract talent. You get that stuff. So, you know, I'm definitely lucky to play that boat. I couldn't imagine.
I mean, for example, we don't have coverage prepays. We don't have to pay $5,000 before our stuff kicks in. For example,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have to pay little co-pays on stuff, but there are some medical plans where you pay out of pocket until you reach a certain amount, and then they start doing in besides mm-hmm. co-pays. And, you know, there are some medical plans that just cover very, very basic things. And we're lucky that we work in place, but, you know, not necessarily everyone who's living, who's listening. Yeah, if you're living, your health care is pretty good. If you're not living, your health care sucks.
I hear you. So, yeah, I mean, I can't speak of it fully, but, you know, they like the Republicans don't want to mandate the...
Here's the thing about the Republicans. Here's the thing. When Clinton was pulling around a single-payer system, this was the Republicans' plan. The mm-hmm. alternate plan was a mandate. Was, you know, right. Either, you know, a tax or like that. So now that Obama says, you know, is taking essentially the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative...
Okay, yeah, I've heard a little bit about this, yeah.
He's taking that plan. Now they're like, no, this is a horrible...
That was the old Republicans. The new Republicans are all Tea Party. Tea Party! Yeah, it just they've forced me from being any kind of conservative. I've, you know, over the last 7 years, I've turned into a Pink Okami too, I think, because they...
What's the alternative? The alternative is horrifying.
Well, it's ludicrous. We can't raise taxes. We want to lower taxes,
especially on the rich.
And, you know, it's like I understand the trickle down. I understand the job growth thing, but they take it to such an extreme. I don't see how you get out of the hole. I just don't see how you can get out of the hole.
They don't. You know, it's such an ideological thing, and it's such a...
I would like to believe that allowing businesses to grow and all that would help the economy. I think that's a great philosophy. But to the degree they take it...
And I don't think history has borne that out. As a matter of fact, history shows that there's more economic growth when there's higher tax on the rich. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, I'm not even prepared to argue that part. I mean, just the philosophy in general sounds good. But they take it to such an extreme that... You don't see how they can get out of the hole, how they can raise enough revenues to, what's that? Oh, it's bottle conditioned.
Yes.
Sure it is. How they can raise enough revenues to do what they're talking about doing. And, oh, it's so infuriating. All the election year, I never saw it as a kid, but I mean, half of the time is tied up in election and pre-election bullshit.
Yeah.
It's
true in a sense that we have a president, or we have, you know, We have a president for 2 years, because the first year they're campaigning, and the fourth year they're campaigning. And so the second and third year they're not campaigning as much. And we, you know, senators we have for, I guess, for 4 years. I guess they don't campaign.
Senators get 6 years.
Right, so I'm saying they have it for 4 years. The first year they're campaigning and the sixth year they're campaigning. Right.
I don't know.
And we don't have congressmen at all. Because they're always campaigning.
Mm-hmm. I could fix it.
Shouldn't say congressmen, I should say representatives.
All elected officials should get a stipend. It's barely worth their time of doing it. And how about everyone gets one term?
They've tried term limits.
I'm not sure. Yeah,
you have to pass a constitutional amendment in order for term limits to be effective.
Sure. I'm not sure how long the term should be. But let's get rid of career politicians first.
I mean,
I think you need career politicians when there are other career politicians. But if there is no career politicians, I don't think you need them.
Yeah, I wonder about...
But I think term limits might have to be longer. Term limits might have to be 6 to 8 years.
But if it's 6 years, then that's just 1 year. You know, that's just one term for a senator.
Well, make it 6 years for Congress, 8 years for Senate or something.
Six years the term for Senate.
I know. Change it. Make it a longer term limit for Congress and the president. Make them all longer, right? But like, okay, let the president serve 8 years. But not have to have a whole re-election thing in there. Imagine how much more productive they'd be.
I don't know if that would work because
8 years might be too long.
I mean, the 8 years is too long because the whole point is you want the ability to change the situation, and that's why there's staggering.
That's why you have lynch mobs.
I mean,
saying this is post-show conjecture. This is thought out. So. Yeah,
exactly. No, but the only so don't take anything we're taking too seriously. We're also on two pretty high alcohol beers, so don't take anything we're taking seriously, really. But so the only real life appointment there is the Supreme Court. I know. Aside from being, I think it's like you can be impeached from the Supreme Court, but aside from that, mm-hmm. you're there for as long as you want to be there. It's a lifetime appointment. Mm-hmm. So, and what we have to make sure doesn't happen, and what we have done a very poor job of making sure has not happened, is that these people in the situation become essentially lifetime politicians. You don't want your people on the Supreme Court to be, it's five conservatives and four liberals, and so it, you know.
Yeah, it sure would be nice if there was. Nine free-thinking individuals. And I'm not saying they're not, but...
Well, I will say that they're definitely not. There are...
I mean, but what they do, you know, the president appoints the Supreme Court justice.
If I were to count the people who I think are free thinkers, are floating, you know, thinkers on the Supreme Court who are not forced into, who are not just ideological, I would say... Yeah, you know, I think Roberts has shown himself to be not necessarily opinion mm-hmm. in this one, not necessarily ideological. I think probably I'd say Sotomayor, Kennedy, obviously.
What sucks is the president.
Everybody else is down.
The president is playing this. Fuck the other side game, where I got to get the most, you know, furthest from center person I can pass that I can get confirmed,
yeah. mm-hmm.
because the other guy's going to do the same fucking thing.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be nice if to say this person is a smart, reasonable person and should be a Supreme Court justice? Wouldn't that be just a breath of fresh air?
It would be a breath of fresh air, and that's sort of what happens. That's sort of what everyone tries to do. Or all the justices try to say when they're being confirmed, and then they fall into ideological lines. But I mean, like Thomas, Scalia, Alito, they're all hardcore conservatives and don't ever do anything besides that. And then Ginsburg and Souter and Kagan, I guess, is the newest one, or she's next newest one. Yeah, I.
But it's just like they're gonna fuck me, so I want to fuck them first. You know, they get the most radical. Radicals, that sounds like, now it's like conservative talk radio. They get the furthest from center person they can possibly confirm because they...
Well, because they have to, because they're forced to sort of stack the deck in that situation because they know the other side's going to do the same thing.
Yeah. Oh. You know, but it's not new. You might think that politics is broken now, and back in the old days with gentlemen in duels at 20 feet, things were better, but, you know, from what I've heard on this subject, things are always contentious and furthest from center. I mean, the center has changed over time, but everything was always furthest from center.
Yeah, politics has always been
compromised.
There's never been a time, I mean, you know, let me put it this way. Things are always acrimonious, always. There's always disagreement. There's always, you know, conflict. But I have heard the wonk people say that it's never been as, in their experience, it's never been as hardcore separation as there is now.
I'm curious what kind of separation there was during the time of, you know, the Declaration of Independence and Constitutional Congress and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how does that compare? And I'm sure it's well documented. I could probably find it if I was motivated. But how does that compare to today? You couldn't imagine some guys saying, hey, let's make ourselves an independent country and have the same kind of divisions that they have today.
Well, I mean, the parties were different.
Sure.
I mean,
they're fighting against a common enemy, so that's helpful.
Now, first it was the Whigs versus I guess they were at the time the Republicans, but now they're called the Democrats. And yeah, the Democratic Party was first called Republicans. And now you see them referred to as the Democrat Republican Party, but it was they called themselves Republicans. And but they changed their name to Democrat, and then later sort of came the new Republican Party.
But they're the GOP. Shouldn't that be the oldest ones?
But they're not.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Weird, huh?
Damn marketing sucking me in, motherfuckers.
They're not the grand old party.
Oh, see, it just... Yeah.
I they may have gotten that because, you know, I don't know. I mean, the Republican Party started, you know, really started around Lincoln.
I'm pretty sure I was taught. It was probably because my teacher was a dumbass.
I think it's because, you know, they were probably the longest named the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Democratic Party, I'm not sure about the history, but I know that what is now the Democratic Party was called Republicans first.
Okay.
And that's why you see Democrat Republican as the, you know, as like Jefferson was a Democrat Republican.
I see.
No, first it was the Federalists, right? It was the Federalists and then the Whigs. The things you forget.
Yeah. It's 200 years ago, man.
I mean, it's funny because history to me is something that was really cool that I wish I realized how cool it was when I was learning it.
Oh, exactly. I history, well, that's how it's taught in school, I think. I mean, you know, history sucked until I found, well, at the point, you know, at the time, it was more so the Hitler Channel, right? It was when history was running, you know, when Sam Waterston was doing those commercial break, you know, the more you know type things, and they were, doing like, you know, it was all I'm like, history is awesome, you learn so much, but why?
I think it's a change in perspective too. When you get older, you start to appreciate more of that stuff. I mean, when you're a kid, when you're 16, you want to get laid and you want to, you know, look at girls' breasts. Yeah. History is not important to you at all. And that's when they're trying to teach you the hardest and the most complex history, is when your hormones are just like, get me out of here. I want to touch girls.
I still think if you have a teacher that could teach it the right way.
Yes, no, it's true. I mean, if you have it, I think that's the case for any subject. If you have a teacher who can sort of ignite those fires in your brain, then that's great. But I think that not all teachers are like that. Not everyone responds to those type of teachers, and you know, the teaching is relatively. It's okay in those situations, but you're not going to respond to just okay teaching at that period. You will respond to fantastic teaching, but anything that's below fantastic teaching, you're going to hate because you just want to do sex things.
You say it's true. Or at least wish that you could do sex things.
I said want to. I didn't say you would do. I said it's what you want to do. Yeah, I mean,
if my kids are virgins as long as I am, then I did a good job.
But how many of us haven't had some sort of crush on a teacher and a girl and, you know, all types of stuff?
I don't know. I mean, it's... All my teachers seemed old.
Okay, I had at least one hot teacher. I had one very hot teacher.
In fourth grade, I had a teacher, Mrs. Hernberger. I see her as, like, MILF or cougar, you know, you would think there. So, like, not really, like, thinking she's hot, but she's like, well, she's different than all the other teachers, you know.
I had a hot blonde teacher who was in her, I guess, late 20s when I was in high school. And
okay,
that's confusing for the brain. That is just...
Yeah, there was no 20-year-old teachers, you know, in junior high or high school for me. Like I said, there was an elementary school teacher that she might have been that age, but, you know, there's such a difference.
And, you know, to any women who are listening, the reason why guys are like... Yay! Teacher sex isn't that bad. Is because we've all been through, or at least we've been through the period, not necessarily teachers, but when we were that age, we had a crush on someone who was older, whether it was someone we knew or someone who was in the media or something like that, and we were just like, oh my god, I want to sex that person because that's all we thought about. It's hormones. It's your body goes through this period of ridiculous change where you don't think clearly, you don't think rationally, you just want to stick your penis inside something.
Yeah, when you're right, you're right. Let's wrap this up.
All right. Enough dick talk.
It wasn't the dick talk that made me want to wrap it up. I just had some beers. I'm tired. All right. I got to get up tomorrow and finish digging a ditch.
Yes.
So
Jeff is working for far less than he should to help out a neighbor. But I guess it's, you know, it's neighborly type deal.
Yeah. I'm making a fair amount of money.
It's not enough.
Yeah. It won't. Actually, with the progress I made today, the job's not going to even take as long as I thought it would. So that kind of balances it out. It'll be a nice cash income. But yeah, I could have asked for more. I should have asked for more. Next time I'll ask for more.
It's the whole Scotty thing. If you want people to think that you're a miracle worker, then you don't tell them how long it's going to take. You add a couple hours onto that. You add some money onto that.
Okay. Damn it, Jim. I'm giving it all she's got, Captain. Gotcha. All right. Yeah, next time we'll make some more bank when I do another retaining or It's not even a retaining wall. It's just kind of a flower garden wall. But it's going to be some money I didn't have otherwise.
Can't knock that.
All right. See ya.
Pip.